Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
It's good to have Brother Shane Wolf. He's a good friend of mine. When I was down and out, he was there for me, and I appreciate him. Yeah. And I appreciate this church. Pray for Brother Shane. He would like to find a good church home. And believe it or not, I know, you could live right next to Niagara Falls and not be impressed. Mm-hmm. And there's people from all over the world that'll go to Niagara Falls just to look at it. But there's people that live within a mile of it, and mm-hmm. they don't even pay any attention, you know. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what can happen. You could be a member of a good church, but you don't appreciate it. Right. You know, you don't. But go ahead and, you know, move to Wyoming or Las Vegas or something, find you a good church. See how you feel 6 months later, you know? And so pray for Brother Shane. He lives a little bit farther away, but I've always bragged on this church. And I had a great mission trip. You know, I try to be organized. You know, a lot of times we're not organized, but I think there are business principles that you can apply to the Lord's work. And like my pastor always taught me, he said, the only thing you do with a lazy preacher is shoot him. I want to be faithful. And I want to be productive, although I know where the fruit is. The fruit is what the Lord does. But God does expect us to throw our whole heart into the fray.
Amen.
So my goals was to win souls, to train preachers, and to evangelize an island called Isla Verde. And my prayer letter is up here if you want to get it. So all three, the Lord did. I think somewhere between 45 to 50 people profess faith in Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
And you can't keep counting. God does the counting. So I don't know. There may have been 100. Out of all that, there may have only been 10. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I know I was faithful to preach, and we saw many souls saved. Did two, seminary-type weeks of training preachers. Had 50 pastors all in all, three of them. And then I hosted a youth camp. We call it the Mystery of the White Stone. And you don't have time for me to tell you all the victory there. It was really an exciting thing, wanting to recruit some new Navy SEALs. We call them buds. And so I think we got 16 now and waiting to put them through Heaven's Week to train for missions. But I did take them to Isla Verde. 10,000 people live on this island and no church. And so now we got a missionary there. He doesn't belong to me, but his name is Joseph Pinello. And we have a baptism. We had souls saved. But I had to climb those mountains. Have you ever climbed a mountain? Well, sure you have, right?
Yeah.
Try doing it in a jungle. I mean, where the temperature's no cooler up there than it is on the bottom, maybe 5 degrees. So I can tell I'm getting older. Man, oh, man, I don't like it. And so some of the SEALs were laughing at me. And I wanted to punch them in the mouth, you know. And But the Lord helped me, and I did it. But I'll tell you, when those 2 months were over, man, I was tired. And so it's taken me about 2 weeks to get my sleep fixed. Then I went to a place called Naga City, Ingra City, and visited an orphanage of 200 kids. And I didn't know this guy's name is Orolfo. We had several saved there. And revival kind of broke out there. There's pictures there. I've been in church services where people weep. But I've never been in church service where people are wailing, crying out to God, man. I mean, it was moving. There was one guy, I was sitting there on the stage, this guy, man, the whole church came forward. And the pastor, man, he was shocked, but the front couldn't contain him, so they were all kneeling in the aisles, crying. This guy was wailing, begging God to help him, you know, and I tried to. But I put my hand on his shoulder, but he didn't pay attention to me, man. He was wrestling with God.
Amen.
And
that's good.
It was an amazing trip. So they want me to come back to look in and take all of our SEALs there. So we'll see what happens. I don't even know if I'll make it back. America's in such bad shape. I'm going to Africa the 25th. We're trying to work that out. Got a big preachers' conference. I will be going to the jungles up there where the lions are. And so I'm excited. I wish I had a rifle, but I don't. So then I'll be going to Togo. Togo is another country. And so then, Lord willing, I'll be coming back, and then I leave to go to India, Hyderabad, India. Now, that's going to be a little bit difficult because war could break out. I mean, we don't know what's going on with Iran, Israel, Syria, even Turkey is getting involved, which if you'll look at the demographics of all that, it lines up with Ezekiel 38. See, there is nothing in the Bible that says that the war with Russia won't come before the rapture. It could come before the rapture. Right. But if it does, God's going to give them some real estate in Israel. He's going to bury them. See, that's the thing. These morons, they don't get it. You're not messing with Israel. You're messing with God.
Amen.
Right. Don't you get that?
Right.
You know? He said, well, I don't like Israel. Well, then join the devil, because the devil don't like them either.
Amen.
You say, well, yeah, but they're not saved and they don't believe in Jesus. Okay, but I mean, can't you read the Bible?
Right.
They're the elect of God as far as nationally.
Amen.
And there will be a remnant. If I go to Israel again, I'm going to go to Petra. Petra is where I think Revelation 12, that's where they'll be hiding until Jesus comes in the Revelation. So anyway, if that happens, if war breaks out, I won't be able to go to India because that'll be going right into the lion's den there in the Middle East. So just pray with me about that. I am excited. We'll see what the Lord does. And I'm really concerned. Just pray for my ministry. I believe, like if you were, let's say you were a salesman, what do you want to do?
Sales.
You want to make some sales, right? Because you need that commission, right? And don't you want to get some good clients, keep your clients? Well, I'm a soul winner. I'm a missionary. I want to win souls.
Amen. God bless.
Yep.
Now, what can I do? Well, I got to preach more. Like, I'm excited about what Tennessee did in July. I told Shane, I'm going to put that all over the place, man. I'm going to put that on my TV show. I got a new TV show now, and I'm going to put that all over, man. Praise God for Tennessee, the remnant of Tennessee. But we just need to do everything we can. See, I like what someone said. I believe that God is so sovereign, it's as if we don't have any responsibility. But I believe that we are so responsible that it feels like it all depends on us. Those are two truths in the Bible. So I don't understand, if you do believe in the sovereignty of God, good, but that doesn't abrogate you from doing everything you can do.
Right.
Because you do everything you can do.
Amen.
And then you depend on God for the results. See?
Yes.
Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So this morning, like, why are we here?
Yeah.
You know, why are we even here? Some of us are here just out of habit. You know, you heard about the preacher. He was a black preacher. Every time he would go to preach somewhere, he'd go, why are we here? And people would say, because we love the Lord or something like that. Well, he was invited to go preach in a mental institution. And he said, why are we all here? No one answered. And he said, why are we all here? No one answered. Finally, some guy in the back said, because we're not all there. But that's not you. Why are we here? Stand with me. Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6. Can you find that? Hosea, Amos, Jonah, Micah. You'll find it. Micah is after Jonah. Chapter 6. Micah chapter 6, verse 1. Thanks, Pastor, for letting me come and preach. It's an honor. Micah chapter 6, verse 1. Now, do I need a microphone? I don't think I need a microphone. Can you hear me in the back? You hear me in the back, right? Well, you will in a few minutes. All right, good. All right, chapter 6, verse 1. Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Now, you see what God's doing? What the Lord is saying, let's go public here. Let's have a conversation. Let's have a debate. But I want everybody to hear it. That's what he's saying. So he calls the mountains, calls the hills to be a witness. Now watch what he says. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy. Now look at that. God has a beef to pick. He's got a bone to pick with us. And ye strong foundations to the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with who? The LGBT alphabet people? No. He hath a controversy with his people. And he will plead with Israel.
O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Now look at that. Underline that in your thoughts. Wherein have I wearied thee? Or another way to say that, how did I wear out my welcome?
Yeah.
Haven't you ever heard that? I don't want to stay too long at your house because I don't want to wear out my welcome. Have I wearied thee? Are you tired of me? Testify against me, God says. Come on, speak up. Yep. What have I done wrong? You won't serve me. You won't love me. Okay, what did I do?
Right.
Wow, man.
Right.
Gets quiet, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Verse 4. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. It wasn't Moses. It was the Lord that did it. See?
Yeah.
The title of the message, why are you not impressed with God?
Bless him, Lord.
Bless.
Why are you not impressed with God? Brother Shane Wolf, would you lead us in prayer?
Dearly Father, Lord, I thank you for another opportunity to be in your house. I thank you for what we've done felt here already in the presence of the Holy Ghost. I thank you for this time, for this place, for these people. Thank you for this pastor, Father, what he stands on. Father, Lord, I thank you for the Sunday school hour. Father, how we're able to speak to each other about the goodness of God. I pray now for my dear brother. I pray that you preach him the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you move this place, God, where we must go to say that we have been changed, Father, Lord, by the message that come only from heaven. I pray now for that lost one that may be amongst us, God. I pray, Father, that the effectual call will go out, Father, Lord. I ask, God, for your Spirit to do the work that only it can do. Help my dear brother out again, I do pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Be seated. Thank you. Amen. Be seated.
Bless you, Lord.
Now, this morning, I just want to preach to your heart and try to get out before your stomach growls. Why do you do what you do religiously? In other words, what is a Christian? And if you are a Christian, then why are you a Christian? What does that entail? What does that involve? Well, how responsible are you, or how consistent are you? Or another question is, why do you do what you do? Now, if you don't, let's say you're inconsistent, because many of us are, then why don't you get more involved? You know what's right. Like, now again, I'm not mad at you. I love this church, right? But some of you don't come on Wednesday night. I'm not chewing you out or rebuking you because you don't come on Wednesday night. I just want to know why. Why don't you want to? Why don't you come to Sunday school? It's not, do you have to go to Sunday school? No, you don't have to. But why don't you want to?
Right.
Why not? Some of you don't give to support you got to be careful with Tommy Boring. He's got a good job, but you still need to give to him.
Right.
If you want God to bless this church, you got to take care of your pastor.
Right.
And I'm not just blowing smoke. If you're not giving him, you're not helping him with retirement or something, how do you expect God to bless this church?
No,
you don't have to say amen.
Yeah.
But you notice I'm not stuttering.
Yeah.
You don't take care of God's man, he won't take care of you. He won't. That's Old Testament and New Testament.
Yeah.
So why is it? What's our problem? Now there is a serious problem, I think. In our country, we already talked about it. When a holy creator, a redeemer, condescends, notice in chapter 6, he condescends and basically is saying, okay, let's talk. I mean, you're upset. You're not serving me, okay? What did I do wrong?
Yeah.
That's what God's saying. Now, you know, God don't have to do that.
That's right.
You know, because God's the authority.
Yep.
See, like if you live in my house and you don't pay rent, you don't pay utilities, and I buy your groceries,
yeah,
and then I'm going to evict you, you know what you have to say? Nothing. It's my house.
Yep.
Get out.
Yep.
But God doesn't do that. We live on this planet. He pays for the sun. He pays for the nightlight called the moon. He pays for all the utilities. He takes care of all the food, doesn't he?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, you work, but so what? God gives you the health to work.
Yep.
Right.
And what do you do for him?
Right.
Right.
Yep, that's what we...
But here's the thing. God comes down and says, okay, let's talk. Hey, mountains, hills, trees, animals, sky. All right, let's speak up. What did I do wrong?
Right.
criticize me.
Yes.
You don't love me. You don't even go to church on Sunday night. Why? I'm not worth it. Look what I've done for you. And then you can't even give an offering on Sunday? Really? Come on, speak up. Cat, got your tongue?
Yeah.
Gets quiet, don't it?
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm preaching this to me. I wept over this message on the way here.
Yep.
Because it's preaching to me too.
Yep. Help us, Lord.
God has a controversy.
Help me, Lord.
Number one, a humble impression. Number two, a healthy impression. Number three, a healthful impression. And number four, a habitual impression. Now, I want to talk, why are we not impressed with God? Now, I think the reason is our pride. I am not impressed with Dan Farrell. I'm telling you, I know you're not either, but I'm telling you, I'm not.
Yeah.
I look at myself, my motives are questionable.
God, yeah.
My works are inconsistent. I don't like me. I know that goes against humanism.
Yep.
He said, well, you shouldn't talk that way. Well, Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am.
Right.
He didn't say, oh, wretched man that I was.
Right.
Paul didn't say, I was the chief of sinners.
Yeah.
He said, I am the chief of sinners.
Yeah.
So help me out, Mr. Psychologist.
Right.
The Bible says, let no flesh glory in his presence.
Yeah.
There's really nothing to glory of. Now, that doesn't mean that Pastor Tommy can't bring up how God used him in a special way. But, man, don't glory in anything you do. Look at Jeremiah chapter 9. Can you find that with me? And I've got a lot of proof texts here, and I don't want to wear you out with proof texts, but you brought your Bible, and it's not just decoration, so let's look at it.
Amen.
We're in Jeremiah 9:23. Jeremiah 9:23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Now, there are some wise men. I think Steve's a wise guy, but don't glory in it. And then he says, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. I think Greg is a pretty strong guy. You ever shake hands with Greg? Man, the guy's got a stinking, he's like a bear, you know, climbing down. Every time I shake hands with him, I get ready. I'm going to give it back to you, man. All right, but don't glory in your strength. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Right?
Right.
Some of you guys have got some money. So what?
Right.
But here's what he says. But let him that glory, you want to glory in something, you want to brag, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me,
yep.
That I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Now there, you want to brag, brag on the Lord.
Right.
Our worship, our singing should be in reference to the Lord. I like the singing here, because I think it's real. Maybe some of us are fake, I don't know. But if we want to sing unto the Lord, the ways of the Lord, Psalm 138, verse 5. Look at that, Psalm 138, verse 5. One of my favorite chapters. It says in verse 5, though, 138, verse 5. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. I think sometimes we sing so others can hear us. No, you're supposed to sing unto the Lord.
Yeah.
You sing unto him. That's why some of you only sing. You only sing when you're in church. Why don't you sing in private? Why would I do that? Who's listening? God?
Yeah.
Why don't you sing to him? Will you, right. Why? How? Who do you think the audience was when David wrote his Psalms?
Right.
It was God. He sang to the Lord under the stars. God knows when we are going through the motions.
Yes.
And we get formalistic. We get, you know, kind of routine, and he doesn't like it. God hates a fake. He doesn't like it. Look, it's Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah 1. And Baptists can be guilty of this.
Yep.
Sure. We like to point fingers at the Catholics and everybody else, but look at us. All right, Isaiah 1. If you have a Bible, use it. Isaiah 1, look at verse 10. To what purpose, or see, verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Look, that's a kind of a slur. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. He's talking to Jerusalem. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or lambs or of goats. Now, you say, why? Well, look at verse 12. Well, watch. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Now watch, verse 13. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. You say, I thought God liked this stuff. Watch, verse 14. Your new moons and your appointed feasts may my soul hateth. Wow. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, man, this happens in Baptist churches. Oh, praise the Lord. I will hide mine eyes from you. Look at that.
Wow.
Yea, when you make many prayers, oh God, oh Lord, oh God, help, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Verse 16. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You know what the Lord is saying? He's saying, look, all this religiosity means nothing if your heart is not right with me. That's what he's saying. All these animal sacrifices, the raising the hands, the many prayers. So what? If you're not going to live it throughout the week, if you're not real, then your religion is worthless. It really is. I know that's strong. But it's coming from God's word. Look at Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah 7. Again, I hope you have a Bible. Zechariah chapter 7. You know why it's important to have a Bible? First of all, you realize I'm not making this stuff up. This is coming from God. It's not coming from me. Now, I did write the sermon, but hopefully I'm convicted myself. Chapter 7, look at verse 3. We're in Zechariah. It's the second to last book in the Old Testament. Verse 3. And speak unto the priests which were to the house of the Lord of hosts and to the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth month? Separate myself as I've done these so many years? See, they're asking, is it time? Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, speak unto all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, when ye fasted, now look at this verse, and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me? Even to me? And when you did eat and when ye did drink, did not ye eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Should not ye not hear the words which the Lord hath cried to the former prophets? You see what God is saying? When you do what you've done, it wasn't for me, or it was just a routine.
Right.
I mean, you're just going through the motions. Yes, look, I know I can't straighten you out to this morning. I'm not going to be able to.
That's right.
But you're going to hear a sermon this morning.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, don't worry about me. Our big concern is what God thinks.
Yep. Amen.
And God sees our private lives. Yep. And what God wants you to be real.
Yes.
Amen. Yep. Amen.
You better be real, because God don't like fakeness and phoniness.
That's right.
The Bible calls it feigned love. God says we're to have unfeigned love. In other words, don't fake it. And our Baptist churches are dying because of this stuff.
We're here.
And it's not just the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
It's us too, man.
Yep, yep.
Our Southern churches are not what they used to be.
That's right.
And we're so proud of the way we do things. And look, man, we better live it during the week.
That's right.
So, number one, a humble impression of God. One last one before we go to our next point. Look at Isaiah 47. In Isaiah 47... I think this encapsulates it a little bit. Isaiah 47 and verse 17. Isaiah 48, verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee the prophet. See that? Which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Now look at this, what God's saying. I wish you would have listened to me. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea.
Right.
So you see, I don't think God is just saying, you know, worship me, worship me, worship me, because I'm so insecure. No, God wants us to worship him because that's the best thing for us.
Yeah.
You say something. You don't worship God and you're not going to be in love with him, and you're not impressed with him, you're going to be impressed with everything else.
Yep.
And the devil's always doing this. Hey, look at this. Hey, look at this.
Yes.
And then all the dazzling lights and the LED signs and all the glit and glitter. And the devil will attract you away from what is pure and right.
Yes.
That's why God wants you to be in love with him.
Right.
God wants you to love him, be impressed with him, because he knows how dangerous this world is.
Yeah.
And you and I are so stupid.
Yep.
We don't get it.
God help me.
And you're welcome.
Yeah. Right.
I know you say, well, you're a rude guy. No, I'm just trying to provoke you. I'm trying to provoke you. I'm trying to get you to think. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you think about me. It's when you leave here, is that guy right?
Right.
I don't like the way he preached, but boy,
amen.
It sure got to me. You can give me the dirty looks all you want. Because God told me, Zeke, I'll make your forehead stronger than their forehead.
Yeah.
Blessing.
Because I'm not here to win your affection.
That's right.
I'm here to provoke you to think about your Christianity.
Amen.
Are you even saved?
Amen.
You know, just because your mama was a shouting Baptist doesn't get you to heaven.
Right. Right.
We're Baptists, man. You must be born again.
Amen.
Number one, a humble impression.
Yeah.
But number two, a healthy impression. You say, what do you mean? Well, you see, when God wants you to be impressed with him, what he's saying is basically this, that he's worth it.
Yep.
When you consider how much he loves you, he's been devoted to you. He wants your obedience, not because he's a control freak,
right,
but he knows that if you obey him, then your peace will be like a river.
Right.
That's what we read in Isaiah 48. See, let me say this too. God has feelings. You have feelings. You ever get your feelings hurt?
Yeah.
Well, God, you know, sometimes you hurt God's feelings. He said, where is that in the Bible? Grieve not the Spirit of God. Where do you seal the day of redemption? You grieve him. So that's what it says. And you know, God can detect when you're cooling off. You know, just like your wife. Your wife can tell when you're not into her anymore.
Yeah.
You forget the anniversary. You forget her birthday. You take her out to eat, but you're on your stupid cell phone. Boy, that gets quiet there too. That's the second quiet time. And guess what, wives? Your husband can tell when you're not into him. Everything he does, you criticize. But God can see it. Look at Malachi. Let's go to Malachi. We'll be there just for about 2 minutes. Look at Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. Look at verse 8. Well, this is haunting scripture here. Malachi chapter 1, verse 8. Malachi 1, verse 8. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? In other words, instead of bringing a good lamb, you bring one that's blind. And you offer that to God. And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it down to the governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? You know what he's saying? Pastor says, hey, Greg, can you lock up tonight? Well, I will if you give me $20. What, Greg? Yeah, baby, I want to go home and watch football. Give me $20, though. I'll lock the doors tonight. That's what it's saying. Can you not just serve God without always looking for compensation? Look at the next verse, the next line. Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. See, God's looking at your motive. Verse 11. For from the rising of the sun, even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. If you don't want to honor me, I'll get honor among the Gentiles. And in every place, incense, that's prayer, shall be offered in my name, and a pure offering. My name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. Look at verse 13. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it. It's a pain in the neck to go to church on Wednesday night. That's what it's saying. It's weariness. And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye have brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord?
Right.
Look at Malachi 2 and verse 17. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? Now you see, the Lord, we get weary with him, but he gets weary with us. See, I'm telling you, I'm right there with you. I'm telling you, I have the same problem you do. But we get weary with God, and we get tired of him, and basically take him for granted. That's our sin.
God is.
You're not doing drugs, and you're not hooked on pornography. But buddy, you don't appreciate God.
God truly hurt.
You're not impressed with him. You know how I can tell? Because how's your prayer life?
Right.
When's the last time you wept over souls?
That's right.
When's the last time you read your Bible, man, and you were getting something good out of it? Because you were getting excited, you were getting involved. When's the last time? Come on. You know what our problem is? Your problem is not that you don't come to church on Wednesday night. That's not the problem. The problem is you're not impressed with God.
That's right. God help us.
Amen. There it is.
Amen.
You got it? Yep. We're not impressed with him. He doesn't float our boat. Like when you eat a banana split, and I'm like, do I have to eat it? No, man, you dig into that banana split.
Yeah, right.
But you go on a vacation, you walk into that nice chalet with three bedrooms, man, and it's got a flat screen and a pool table and a jacuzzi. Woo, man, this is great. But we don't approach God that way, do we?
No.
He's no longer, he doesn't wow you anymore, or me anymore. Why not? Look at Isaiah 43. The conclusion's the best part, so I want to get to the conclusion. I told a guy one time, I said, I love the conclusions of my sermons. I'm just going to make the whole sermon a conclusion. All right, Isaiah 43. Look at verse 24. Isaiah 43, 24. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of the sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Look at that, Brother Tommy. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Come on. Think about me. Consider me. Let us plead together. I'm talking to you. I'm arguing with you. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified.
Right.
See, like, when's the last time? Have you ever, like, your wife, did you ever bring her flowers? Or did you ever bring her some chocolate fudge? Why'd you do that, man? Because she has a sweet tooth. You know God has a sweet tooth. Mm-hmm. When's the last time you brought God something out of love for him?
Yep. God help us.
I'm not talking about keeping the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about doing something special.
Yeah.
What is that? 1 John 3:22, and we have those things which we ask of him, and we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
Yep.
See, doing the things that are pleasing in his sight, that goes beyond the commandments.
That's right.
Like Brother Tommy says, hey, can you wash my car? Yeah. And I wash his car, and then he comes back and he goes, wow, looks like you waxed it. Yeah, I did. Well, I didn't ask you to wax it. I love you. I wanted to wax it for you. When's the last time you did something sweet for God?
Right.
He has a sweet tooth. When's the last time? You know, I can tell you one lady that did. Her name was Mary.
Yeah.
And she gave an alabaster box. And she thought about giving like two or three drops or maybe a little tablespoon, but she just went ahead and gave the whole thing to him.
Amen.
She poured it on his feet and his hair. And you know what happened? She did it without asking. She didn't ask John, Peter, James. You know, it's okay if a woman does something like this. She just did it. And she got criticized. Oh, hey, criticized. Oh, this is an insult to free repentance and give me the poor. They criticized you, but Jesus said, why don't you guys shut up? That's what he said. Leave her alone. She's done this four times for my burial, and wheresoever this gospel be preached, this shall be spoken as a more. You know why he was so impressed with that? Because she did something out of love. She gave the whole thing. That was expensive, man.
Yep.
That alabaster perfume was worth a year's salary, and she just gave it all to Jesus. Well, that's how I checked. It's not the Ten Commandments. But she just did it because she loved it, and he liked it.
Amen.
You know why? Because that's what he did on Calvary.
Amen.
You dirty, rotten Baptist. We don't deserve to go to heaven.
That's right.
We deserve to go to hell. That's and I'm ahead of you, man. I am the biggest sinner in you.
God help us.
If you're not the biggest sinner you ever met, you don't know yourself. I'm serious.
Yeah, yeah, but God.
Let me tell you something. That's why the Lord loves it when we go the extra mile to just please Him.
Yeah.
Because that just shows that we love Him. We're not doing this so Pastor Tommy brags on us.
Right.
We're not doing this so New Providence knows about us so I can get up in the testimony and brag on myself. No, we just want to do it because we love the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Number three, it's a helpful impression. You say, what do you mean? Well, I think the reason why we are not impressed with our God is because we really don't enjoy Him. I like getting around Greg. I think Greg enjoys the Lord. But let me show you, Brother Greg. Look at Psalm 16. I love this verse. In fact, there's two here, but one especially. Now, again, if you're not tired, look at Psalm 16 and verse 8. Now, watch what it says here. I've set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. That means right hand means He's the first one I go to all the time. I've set God at my right hand. But now watch this. Look at verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now let me, again, I don't want to preach too long. But you know what our problem is? Now listen, please listen. Stop being mad at me. Just listen for a second. The reason why we're not the Christians we should be is because we don't enjoy God.
Lord help.
We don't enjoy Him. We've made it so dry and religious and legalistic. We're so sick and religious. I used to, when I was a young Baptist, I used to say that's the Catholics and the Protestants. They're the ones that, no, it's us.
We got to say, God help us.
Just in a different way. Oh, we don't bow down to stupid statues. And we don't have a crucifix. But we got our own religiosity.
Yeah.
You see, the chief duty of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. But we don't enjoy Him. I can tell by looking at your face. You're not enjoying this sermon. You're not. Maybe because you're convicted, but
yeah.
We don't enjoy God. I know I don't.
Oh, yep.
I was listening to Abigail Miller, man. I love Abigail Miller. Man, she was singing, man. She just draws me closer to God. I want to enjoy God.
That's right. That's right.
Because if I enjoy God, then I'm not out here enjoying the pleasures of sin for a second. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tim, there's our problem. And I'm trying to help you.
Yep.
God's got to be your banana split.
Amen.
He's got to be your vacation.
Amen.
You don't have to read the Bible. You get to.
Yep.
You know?
Amen.
You don't have to go to church.
You get to.
You want to.
That's right.
You want to go.
Amen.
You don't. Oh, man. Oh, I got to pray. No, you don't have to. Go to bed. Go ahead. You don't appreciate God anyway, do you?
Right.
You don't enjoy Him. Just go on to bed. Watch your stupid TV and go to bed.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
But if you really love Him, you'll enjoy Him.
Yep.
I like what Francis Schaeffer said. Remember I told you this a few months ago, a year ago. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and do whatever you want. That answers all your questions.
Yeah.
All.
That's right.
Yeah. You want to watch pornography? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you can do it.
See if you can do it.
You want to play poker? You gotta love God with all your heart, mind, soul. Have a word of prayer before you play poker and see if you can enjoy it.
Right.
I'm telling you, loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength will straighten out everything.
Yep.
And then the second one is back into the first. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, it's not so hard to love your neighbor when you love God.
Amen.
See? It's helpful. It's helpful. It's helpful. Well, I don't want to just keep you, but I do think that our church services would be more alive.
Yep.
The visitation and soul winning would be more enthusiastic. That Brother Tommy wouldn't have to beg you to read the Bible and worry about you're not growing in grace. If we could just be impressed with God.
Yeah.
But we're not.
Yep.
Number four, habitual impression. So if we are impressed with God, then why don't we make Him known to others? See, it's the same thing with soul winning. See, when I pastored, that was always, my goal was not to get the attendance up on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I wanted a good attendance on Sunday night, and I wanted a good attendance for soul winning. That was my goal. But I think my problem is I got too legalistic with it. You know, I browbeat people. Just always browbeating them. Here's what I think. I think if you get excited about God and you're impressed with God, you can't help but talk about it. Like, I mean, I bet you some of you got grandkids. I mean, your grandson is so handsome. He is such a cool kid, and you have no problem talking about him.
Yeah.
Or let's say you go out fishing. Brother Shane's a good fisherman, and you catch a, you know, I don't know, a 10-pound smallmouth bass. Man, that's a trophy fish. You have any problems bragging about that? Rejoicing over that? Showing the picture? No, you don't. And I think if we were more impressed with God and we really were loving him and thankful for him, it would just come out.
Yep.
Remember when he healed that leper? Yep. He healed that leper in Mark chapter 1, was the verse 45. And he said, look, keep it to yourself. Go to the priest, offer for thy cleansing and offering, just like the Levitical law. Yep. And just don't broadcast this, okay? Looks like he's so famous. He's all healthy. He goes, okay, okay, I'll hey, I'm healed. Yes. Jesus of the Son. And he blazed abroad. He shut his mouth off.
Yeah.
He couldn't keep his mouth shut. Yeah. So what Brother Tommy needs to do is tell all of you, don't tell anybody about Jesus. You're not going to hell. You're on your way to heaven. Just keep it to yourself. And then maybe you guys go out and scream and yell and tell people about Christ. You think anybody would rebuke that dude? Hey, man, keep quiet. Get your religion to yourself. No. That guy has been healed of leprosy.
Yeah.
I've preached in leper colonies. Yeah. I've had those lepers, they sat in the back row. They wouldn't even come near me. But one leper lady with no fingers came up to me and she said, could I hug you? And I hugged her.
Yeah.
I talked to the doctor first. He said, you won't get leprosy as long as you don't have an open cut, open wound. But those lepers, man, they're ashamed of themselves. You had leprosy, and you're dying from the outside in. And then Jesus just healed you.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You cannot keep your mouth shut.
Yep.
So why are we not witnessing for him?
Amen.
Why don't we tell others about Jesus?
That's right.
Why don't we get excited about him? Because you're not pressing.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And you have forgotten. You were purged from your old sins.
Yeah.
2 Peter chapter 1.
Yeah.
So number one, it's a humble impression. Number two, it's a healthful impression. Number three, it's a helpful. But number four, it's habitual. See, when you love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you'll love your neighbor as yourself.
That's right.
Why? Because you're so impressed with God, you're not impressed with yourself.
Yep.
Now there's the problem. There's Dan Farrell. That's Dan Farrell's problem.
Amen.
I'm impressed with myself. I hate my pride. You see, we can't do that. We got to crucify that. Paul said, I die daily, you see? So when you're impressed with God, now think about this. Now, Steve, think about this. You're a dirty, reprobate sinner without Christ.
True.
You're on your way to hell.
Right.
But the God of the ages wrote your name down in the book of life. And then, well, he didn't write it down when he got saved. He wrote it down before the foundation of the world.
Right.
Now, how he knew your name before your mom knew your name, I don't know. But he wrote your name down. And just like Judah, Jesus told his father, I'll be surety for Benjamin. If I don't bring him back, blame me. And the Bible says in Hebrews 7, verse 22, that Christ is your surety. You know what that means? That Jesus is going to save you.
Amen.
And did he not save you?
Yep.
Yes.
He found you, didn't he?
Amen.
I'm a guy. He was cursing God in a submarine one night under the South Pacific hot sky. Man, he got saved. In a submarine, God found it. Just like, Steve, I've been in many a prison and seen grown men get down on their face begging God to save them in jail. Where did God find you? Remember that little girl came to the Methodist preacher said to the little girl, have you found Jesus? The little girl said, I didn't know he was lost. You didn't find him, he found you. And he called his sheep by name. The Bible says. And then he saved your miserable soul.
Yep.
And gave you a new spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
And now you love the things you used to hate and hate the things you used to love.
Yep.
And now rejoice that your name's written down in heaven. You're going to heaven. I don't know what's going to happen between now and your death.
Right.
I know this 100 years from now it won't matter. Okay, you may not get that.
Amen.
You want. Who cares, man?
Who cares?
You may not get that shotgun, that Brunelli,
yep.
that Remington shot. You may never get it, but who cares?
Right.
There's a lot of things down here we may not get. But you're saved. You see, those of you that are sleeping, or those of you that are lost with me, on my worst day, I'm better than you. And on your best day, you're not better than me. Because I'm saved going to heaven and you're lost going to hell.
Yep.
And it's not because of who I am. It's because of whose I am.
Yep, amen. Amen.
Here's the funny thing about it. Some of you may be a better person than me. You may have a better marriage. You may be a better man. You serve the military. But if you're lost, you're going to hell.
That's right.
You may be a better man than me. That's not hard to believe. But that doesn't mean you're going to hell. All right, I'm going to tell you a story real quick. Okay? Bryce is okay. You're not done yet, are you? All right, listen. Let's say Bryce, you're out hunting bear. You ever hunt bear? I'm a little bear hunting, so you and I will go. All right? All right, you're out there. You're out in Alaska. And you're looking for a Kodiak or a brown bear. And while you're out there hunting, man, you're eating your lunch, and all of a sudden, up behind you, and man, here comes a bear. You don't have time to stand around with your rifle. You grab your 44 mag, and let that bear hits you, man, and you can feel his breath, and he's biting down on your shoulder, and he's chawing you. And man, you're screaming. It looks bad. All of a sudden, man, there's something else happens. That bear is knocked off of you, but you pass out. And you can see like a glimpse of a man. And next thing you know, you wake up in the hospital. So Bryce in the hospital, they've got you in a nice room. And you wake up, your mom's there, your dad's there, and they say, you're going to be okay. And Bryce says, what happened? And you had a bear attack. Listen, I got a private room at least. Yeah, there was a man that saved your life.
Really?
He came and he knocked that bear off of you.
Wow.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, here comes filet mignon, time to eat. And your mom says, why didn't you order filet mignon? So the man that saved your life, he wanted you to eat something good. Wow. The next day, man, you get Deep Wellington. And your mom says, why didn't you order Deep Wellington? Because the man said, give you the best. Well, who is this man? I want to meet him when you can. Why? He's in ICU. He may die. What? The man that saved my life may die. Now you're out of the hospital. And they put you in rehab. And it's nice, man. I mean, and your mom says, where am I going to get the money to pay for this? The man that he gave orders to give you this nice chalet, this nice room. So you've got 24-hour attention. In the nicest rehab, and they've got you walking again, got you using your arm, and so on. Then you have gifts come due. Got some roses. Got some car magazines. And what do you think, Bryce? What do you think? Who is this guy? You want to meet him?
Yep.
Answer. Chris. You want to meet this guy? And
yeah.
See, you appreciate the food, you appreciate the room, you appreciate everything. But I want to meet the man that saved my life. I want to meet the man.
Hallelujah.
So then you find out the guy, he's living, man. It's a miracle. He's living. He's up in a big mansion. You know what he does? He gives you a limousine ride to come up this big mountain to visit him in his palatial mansion. And you're impressed. Man, this guy, man, must be rich. But the only thing you're thinking about is what?
Thing.
I'm going to meet this guy. I want to meet this guy.
Yeah.
I want to be able to give him my... Thank you. Thank you for saving my life. Thank you for the hospital. Thank you, Mom. That's all you can think about. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking about.
Right.
Christ has done for you.
Amen.
The truth.
Amen.
He saved your life and your soul, and not at the risk, but at the cost of his life.
Amen.
He died for you. And right now, your only thought ought to be, I want to know him.
Yep.
I want to know him. I appreciate my Tommy. I love him. I love this church. I love all this. And boy, the love letters. I love the love letters. Yep. But I want to meet the one.
Amen.
Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection.
Amen.
And the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death.
That's right.
That's everything. So see, I want to be impressed with God.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps me going. The love of Christ constrained me. And I'm going to say this and I'm done. If this does not kind of guilt you a little bit and maybe provoke you, then maybe you're not saved.
Maybe.
I think you ought to consider that. This week, I was on my knees on my mom's bed, and I was asking the Lord, am I really saved? Because the Bible says examine yourselves. You know, just because you're a preacher, that doesn't mean you're saved. So I was kind of, sometimes I don't feel like I love you very much. I'm trying to be honest with you. Yeah. I want you to be honest with me. I'll be honest with you. And so I rehearsed my confession. What do I really believe in my heart? And the tears started flowing, and I could just tell. Well, not the tears, but I could feel in my heart. I really do believe in Christ.
Yeah.
I believe all of it. The incarnation, his sinless life, his death on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension, and the fact that he makes, intercession for me.
Yeah.
I believe in him.
That's right.
And I believe, and that's the only reason I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
And I thought to myself, if I stand before God and he says, hey, do I know you? No, sir, do I know you? I don't know if you know me, but I know you. And you think I'm going to brag on the fact that I preach at New Providence? I'm not going to even bring it up.
Right.
You think I'm going to brag about giving money to missions for the fact that I'm a preacher or a Baptist? Forget it. I won't bring up anything. I'm just going to say, you died on the cross for me, and I put my faith in, and I'm trusting you. That's it.
Amen.
That's all. That's all I got.
Amen. Amen.
Know about you. Are you saved? Are you impressed with God? Now, I'm not saying you're lost if you're not. Please, that'd be silly. I'm not saying you're lost, but I'm saying it ought to bother you. That's all I'm saying.
That's right.
If you're not saved, it ought to bother you that you're not enjoying God, you're not impressed
with
God. It would bother me. It would bother me. And it does bother me.
Yeah.
So I get on my knees and I pray.
Right.
If I was a member of this church, I would support this man and I would support this church. I would do everything I can. I hope God would help me do that. I'm challenging you.
Amen.
Get more involved in this church. Why? Because you're impressed with God.
Amen.
Because God has saved you.
That's right.
And helped you. I've heard your prayers. I've heard your requests. All right, let's do something about it. In fact, we're going to give an invitation.
Amen.
Now, here's what I'm going to ask. You don't have to do, I'm not telling you what to do. If I was you, I think I'd come forward and tell God your soul. Tell God your soul.
Help
not loving you and serving you.
Amen.
I'm not telling you what to do. Because I don't have the right to tell you what it is. If I was you, you're a Christian.
Thank you, Lord.
I think I'd come forward and say, God, I'm sorry.
Okay.
You deserve a hot love.
God,
you deserve a romantic love.
Okay.
You deserve that. For all that you've done for me,
bless you.
You deserve it. Now, if you want to stay in your seat,
thank you.
That's fine. That's up to you.
Oh, but
that's
I'm
right. It's our business prayer. And you
tell me, buddy, I'll be impressed.
Your Father, I pray right now that we'll not be business as usual. I'm not trying to be. I think the people can tell I'm real, I'm sincere, I'm honest.
Oh, bless
I have not bragged on myself, I've only bragged on you.
We bless
and I just
your
pray right now that you help people to respond.
Thank
it
you,
bothers
Father.
Me, though, some people maybe should stay in
God
the seat,
the...
but they're just some people. They're like the rock at Gibraltar. They can't move.
So
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's pride or maybe it's just they're not going to let a preacher tell them what to do. I don't know. But I do know there's some people that need to move. And I pray, Lord, that this message will follow them home.
Thank you,
and that you'll deal with them. Help them to forget about me. But Lord, help them not to forget this message. That we need to be impressed with you so much it changes the way we live. So please bless these people. Help them not to get wounded by me. May the conviction be the Holy Spirit. And I ask this all for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. God bless you.
Amen. Thanks, Lord. Come get a song if you would.